Actually, Debbie and I, we were talking along similar lines last night, and we wanted to get you to clarify what is the connection between Parsis and Jews?
Parsis, you don't say anything about that. What is the connection between Zoroastrians and the Jewish religion? Fundamentally, there is nothing about it. I had been to a service in a synagogue. All that happens over there, and all the rabbi, what he does there, and the congregation that is elected over there, and their dress styles and everything, you know, resembled so much and reminded me so much of the Zoroastrians assembled in a fire temple.
Do they wear those shawls?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Everything is there. And the persons who are attending the prayers and all that, they need to have a cap and everything. Everything is there, same thing. Yeah. It is said that prior to this Judaism and all that, Zoroastrianism was prevalent. And of course, there was no sign, like what do you call the chosen tribe, or the Jews, or this or that, nothing of the sort. The prophet, the ancient prophet, was, according to the recorded history that we have got, was considered to be Zoroaster. He is known as the prophet Zoroaster, the first prophet. For us here in this civilization, prior to that, there are millions of them, Baba says, that have come millions of times. As man amongst men, people called me by different names and assigned to me different assignments and so forth. So Zoroastrianism was rampant at the time, and then gradually what happened was that Zoroaster had comforted his followers by saying that, just as Baba says, I'll come again. I always come. I am there in your midst. And so forth. And he had said that he will be coming a sociant again. Zoroaster had said that.
Coming as what?
Sociant.
Sociant?
Sociant means?
Sociant.
Yeah. That is how it is mentioned in the lost history that we have come across. The word sociant is there. I don't know the meaning of it, because it is in that dead language what it means. Mm-hmm. So, at a certain stage in life, in human history and civilization, of course, so many must have appeared and gone. So we don't know anything. But Zoroastrians were there all over the places, all over Persia and other places, in the Middle East. The Zoroastrian Empire spread out as far as west of India, right all across Afghanistan and all these places. Borders of Russia and other vast empire was there, Persian Empire. And Zoroastrianism was there because it was backed by the emperor himself later on. At the time it was Zoroaster. So that's why it had the, what do you call it? Philip, you call it, what do you call it?
Yeah, the force.
Force. It had the force of the royal seal, naturally. But all the time they remember that he's going to come again. And centuries are passing by, and millennia are passing by, and all of a sudden, according to the ancient history, they thought that he has come again in Abraham. Naturally, Abraham must have spoken to them in their own language, the Zoroastrian terminologies, orthodoxy, whatever that was. Residual orthodoxy that was there, whatever it was. And he again did the same thing as Zoroaster did. He tried to abolish the idols and all that. And so they recognized in him as Zoroaster, come again. So that is the only relationship that we come across. And wrongly, people have been dubbing Zoroastrians as the fire worshippers. They are fire worshippers, no doubt about it. But they were taught not to worship the so-called fire. What is it called fire? fire, you know, light a fire. That was not there. But that's how amongst the amongst other religions we have at fire temples known as Agyari. And nobody knows, even Zoroastrians call them Agyari. But it's not the right pronunciation. Agyari, friendship with fire. So it is all what you call, what is the word for it that you spoil the very word, you know? What is that in English?
Adulterated?
No, that you...
Corrupted.
Huh?
Corrupt the word.
So instead of Agyari, you call it Agyari. You are going to Agyari. So that fire has to be kept perpetually burning within ourselves. It's not that love for God, that love for God who is one. These are the only things that we come across. All our history is all lost. It's Zoroastrian history. Life of Zoroastrian is also lost. Only fragments we have got. And I hear that now some of the Americans and that Zubin Mehta, you see, they are trying to have a full-length film on the life of Zoroastra. I don't know how they'll make it. Yeah.
One thing that's often said about Zoroastrianism is that it's dualistic. And particularly in its influence on other religions, they would say that it sees an opposition of light and darkness as two not quite equal forces, but powers in their own right. Is there any of that flavor that has... Did you get any of that flavor when you were brought up?
Yeah, of course. Forces of darkness, you have to repel those forces, subdue them, and fight for the forces of light to overcome the forces of darkness. That is the Satan.
That's where Christianity got its concept of Satan from.
Yeah.
That's from Zoroastrianism.
It's an ancient thing.
And angels, fallen angels.
Yeah, fallen angels. Yeah.
Especially fallen angels.
So, and the three precepts of Zoroastrian are so good. Succinctly put, it's just that. Good words, good thoughts, and good deeds. If you hold on to that, you have got God. You have got God in your grip. Live that. And see what Zoroastra of this time has said. Same thing. On words, thoughts and actions, deeds. Speak words that you will not hesitate to speak in my presence. That will please me. Think things that you will not hesitate to think in my presence. Do and act that which you would not hesitate to do and act in my presence. So that's how it is. Keeping his company at the same time, being in tune with him. That would please me. These are the three things he said that would please me most. If you do that.